This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
I remember when I was much younger than now. I used to sit and listen to the news. I was the only child. And another day and another night, wishing Daddy would come home. Me and Mom couldn't sleep at night.
It just went off the fire for the face without the ride. So determined to believe you feel alive. I sing a ballad for the fallen soldier. This is a ballad for the fallen soldier. I wrote to my congressman. He sent his regrets that he's missing in action.
Carol Cox Show, right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day right here in Hawaii. The subjects today are going to be varied, and we're coming down to the close of the year. And I actually have a gentleman waiting on standby, Charles Connemara, who maybe some of you have seen him on KGMB regarding he's a disabled veteran. And he's asking the VA and everyone to take care of him. He has had his legs amputated, and he was fitted, he says. He tells us that he was fitted for a prosthesis, but the Veterans Administration is not being generous to him, or there's a delay or something. And so he's out there and on his way, should be, or there in Kailua, holding a sign trying to get the president's attention, President Obama, out there in Kailua. So we're going to go to Charles and see how things are going. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
I'm okay. How's it going? Are you there in Kailua yet?
We're getting there.
Okay. And so you have a sign, I understand, that you had made up, and you're going to go out there. And hopefully the president see you, what are you expecting? Are you having high hopes? Are you expecting him to stop and chat with you? What are you hoping for?
Hoping he waves his magic wand and tells the VA my plight.
Uh-huh. And
I've been slipping through the cracks. So.
Yeah. If you could, quickly, can you share with us what it is, from your perspective? You have lost your legs and they were amputated at Tripler. And so can you take it from there, and you and a little bit of background on your VA services or military services? Go ahead.
Okay, 2 years ago they amputated my legs, and they're doing the best they can, and that's all I'm asking. I can see the president, or hope to see, is this is taking a long time.
A little confusing statement there. They're doing
and
the best.
I'm kind of confused about, you know, the treatment and what I was promised. And
So you went to the VA there at Tripler, and that's where the operation took place of amputation. And they measured you for prostheses, or informed you that you were entitled or could be in receipt of prostheses.
I can't hear you, sir. Can you speak a little louder, please?
How about now?
Still can't hear you.
He can't hear. No, I'm saying that you talk to the VA. Is that better? Charles?
Having trouble hearing you.
Well, just go ahead and tell your story if you would. If you can't hear me, apparently you were hearing me earlier, and now you can't. I don't know what the problem is.
Okay, joined the Army 1971, joined B Company, 12th Special Forces. They said you're going to have to jump out of planes, you're going to have to do this, you're going to have to do that. And I said, okay, I volunteer. Raised my hand, and this is a reserve unit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't know how the war was going to go, but a volunteer to do everything, jump out of planes, go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fortunately, I didn't have to do any of that. A lot of my friends went to Vietnam.
I see. But you never served any foreign theater in the actual combat, or never saw combat, did you?
No, sir.
Okay. And so now you were measured for your prosthesis. And how long ago were you measured? And did the VA send you to these people?
2 years. Everything happened 2 years ago.
Okay.
Okay. And like I said, I'm still waiting. I don't know what's going on. It's just I was measured, went to the prosthetic people, made friends with them and everything, and just trying to get some kind of attention.
Okay. And so you haven't gotten any. How about Tracy Betts? You mentioned her name as I talked to you earlier.
That's the director of the VA. I tried to see her 3 times and was refused 3 times.
She refused to meet with you.
Yes, and I want to just talk about my situation. We're going to talk about nothing else. Just how can we resolve this situation?
Okay.
And never met with me, so.
And how about your congressional legislative people, the Tulsi Gabbard, or have you approached their office, or Mazie Hirono, any of those?
Senator Brian Schatz.
Okay.
He asked me what was my rating, and I said I don't even have one. So he got me 70%, but that doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. But
it's like nothing, 70%.
Yeah, but this has nothing to do with the amputation and replacement of your prosthesis.
No. I had 10 years service, so I knew I was getting some kind of insurance. I don't know what, but I know I was going to get something for having 10 years service.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 honorable discharges, so.
And yeah, so you haven't heard anything from Betts, and you're hoping that the president's eye catches eye, and maybe he would in turn have some sympathy, or order his people to check into it and move this thing along, right?
Yes, sir.
So, anyway, where are you now? Are you
coming
still
to the gate right now?
Are you there at the Secret Service?
Now, the Secret Service is, they look like they're up ahead. So right, we're right here.
Okay. Well, listen, if you have the good chance or good fortune of catching the president's attention, and will you give us a call back?
Yes, sir, boss.
All righty. We'll talk
okay,
to
have
you.
Have a pleasant day, sir.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Anyway, kind of a difficult thing to, as Charles said, that he was trained as a special forces, and that was some of the information that went out, that he was actually special forces. For clarity, he actually trained. He's representing that, and so. But again, meeting with him yesterday, and what he does is to try and, I guess, balance out his survive, as he described it, is to panhandle there at the Stadium Mall at the Ice Palace over in that area. So if you see him out there, give him a wave. But we've dealt with Tracy Betts, and I don't know all the particulars, but whatever it is that prompted this gentleman to, or motivated him to, take this effort, make this these steps to go out and see the president. Apparently, it's consistent with the way this Department of Veterans Administration do things here on behalf of the veterans. We know that I've seen veterans living under the freeways and in the parks and what have you. And I know there's always two sides of it, and some of you say that, well, it's just, you know, the veterans, or they just go out and do drugs. But I didn't see war and didn't see combat. But I spent 3 years in active duty. I'd ask any of you, that you level-headed people that have never gone to any war or served in the military, to take 3 years out of your life and give it to the sake of, quote, protecting the country and the values of this country. 3 years, and try to run a family or keep a family together and have a loved one and all of that while you're abroad. So these are the things that we don't really consider when we are flippant in our remarks about some of the homeless veterans or what their plight is. And it's interesting. I watched people yesterday, quite giving, disabled veteran, and there was one gentleman, as I was leaving, said, well, you know, how do we know that this guy is not pulling a ruse or, you know? Well, how would we know other than doing the basic checks? But I can tell you that I have dealt with the Department of Veterans Affairs, and there's Ron Hahn. I should call him Sir Ron Hahn. You recall we talked about the Tina Quezon, and these are some of the most insensitive, reckless, and arrogant people I have ever met in my life. And Hahn was appointed by Abercrombie. He's part of this Abercrombie's administration. And then there's Tracy Betts. When you call her, she don't bother to talk to you. She's higher than God, I guess. I think most people have better chance of talking to God than or talking with him than they have in talking to Tracy Betts. That's the way this process works here. And they all get appointed, and you have the Gabbards and the Shots and the Hironos and the Hanabusas, who, and even Mr. Obama. I mean, as much as I love him and love the sight of him being in the White House, I'm always troubled that it seems that every year, and you know, we gravitate to the Marine Corps base, and he hangs out with the veterans or the active duty people and their families. And then I ask, well, gee, all of these trips here, when will he ever hang out with some of the people, you know? So I get this feeling that the veterans and the active duty get attention because it's politically good for the parties in office or those that are trying to get in office. And I think that's something that could be, we could get past that if we just care. I know there are security issues and what have you, but I would like to see the president even come and talk to the older Filipino soldiers that fought, that are still struggling with the various issues they have. I would like to see some justice brought to them. But again, we appoint these people like Ron Hahn and Tracy Betts, and we promote them and we get them out there. And the when it comes to the homeless, Colin Kippen and all of those people. And it's just one ivory tower of elitist people going to do absolutely nothing for the veterans or anyone else. I've seen it. I've spoken with many of them. So I'm hoping Charles is successful in getting just the attention of the president. That would be really a good statement, you know. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Aloha kakariaka, Carol.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, brother. It's Filippo.
Yes, sir. How are you?
How you been, bro?
Aloha.
Good. Aloha. Listen, I just want to say, the end of the year here, I want to thank you for all that you do for the people of Hawaii. Not only Hawaii, but every place else that's learning something from you.
Well, thank you, brother.
Okay, And I pray that your cup will overflow with all the blessings.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping it happened that way too, so we can keep the info coming and keep it flowing, and you know.
Keep it flowing.
Every little bit helps here, you know.
We're
not moving mountains in one push or one shove,
boy,
I get that feeling inside, Filippo, that it's actually working. I
praise God.
All of us. I think the little bit that we talk about, and you know, it may not make CNN, and who cares? CNN controls the government anyway, and the big media, the people that own them owns us, and on. But I'm getting that feeling that down here, that the lower levels of I'm getting the feeling. I hear people talking. And
they're getting
smart, man. And if I was the politicians, local politicians, if people hold to their comments and stick to them, I think.
No, I don't want to wish you this bad ado, but you just said the magic word, yeah, you know, politician.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I would gladly work to get you into office. We start off with a House representative first of all. Basically, sometime you gotta just join in those ranks there.
Yeah.
And keep that in mind, basically.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind because there's a lot of people that that think greatly of you and would come forward.
Yeah.
Such as me, you know.
Well, thank you.
I cannot get a new office because, as you probably aware of, I'm a Hawaiian national.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not part of this circus. I belong to another circus.
Yeah.
Okay?
But you know, Filippo, there is many occasions people say that, and I've never been inclined or have the desire because here's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be some form of truth out there that when it comes to people, someone needs to be amongst us to call names, name names, give dates, give specifics. Without that, I could go into the state House of Representatives or Senate or become governor, but without these elements out there, unless we can assure ourselves that there's something out there, it would be futile for me to go and be a part of that system. And this way, being able to knock on the door, and, you know, they can always collect their goons and their minions and issue statements to preempt you and, you know, in my capacity. but it works. But in office, you sit there and you're privy to information, but there are rules, executive sessions and all. So you basically, once you're inside of that camp, it's more confining, more restrictive. And and so, but not to say no, but I would gladly and quickly decline any interest in that, because the thousands of fleas on the dog's back are not looking to share the blood; they're looking to suck it all up and build empires within government. And okay. I couldn't be amongst a band of thieves. I just couldn't. Couldn't find my way. You understand?
Certainly I do.
But
and forgive me. Even if I made $1 million donation, you wouldn't consider it.
I love what I do right now because you know.
Okay.
Let me tell you. How does a person from Waianae or the lower income families? How do they reach the Brigwood Galateras, the Clayton Hees, the Neil Abercrombies, the Tulsi Gabbards? How do they do that? They can't. So the joy and what I find, the reward is being available to them, not to the guy with the PhD, not with the guy with the bachelor's, not with the guy with the job, but Marianne Kawhi, who has a child that is sick from construction dust that is there. Nobody in Senate is going to listen to him. Joe Jordan, Miley Shimabukuro, Karen Iwana, Colleen Hanabusa wouldn't give a damn about these people unless they came and said, I'll cook for you, or I'll help you in your campaign or something like that. But just to come to enjoy the benefits of being an American citizen, it's not afforded. So my role, and it's though self-appointed because that's just what makes me feel good, is to be able to not speak for them, but serve as a conduit. As a congressman, as a senator, as a state representative, you can't serve in that capacity. Or apparently you can, but they won't here in this town. Mm-hmm. So that's...
I understand fully.
You know, that's my religious belief there. I equate it to a religious belief because...
You're on target.
I've been in that position. You follow as one of the people in Waianae who...
Yep.
Who suffers from the smell of slop cooking every morning and the deteriorating air, the degraded air quality. You follow.
Sure.
So.
All right, brother.
All righty. Hey, thank you.
Thank you again.
We'll talk
Keep
to you
plugging.
Soon. Okay.
Keep on trucking.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay. I just dropped a paper that I was going to refer to, but... Yeah, quite often we get that approach, and having worked for government, there. Once you're in that system, it's you can be as honest as any person in there, but the system you find yourself horse trading, and trading people's lives and the welfare of people, because that's the way it is, And I look at Kaka'ako and look at many other areas, the development just coming in, and the issues aren't addressing the people's issues. You know, you're taking out of play. The recreational values of poor people go down and sustain themselves by fishing and recreating. It's a cheap recreation, but they can go to the beach and sit there and eat the spam musubi and all. But now, just to get to the beach, you got to have a pocket full of quarters. And it's fact of life is that many people don't have that. That what may come to a luxury to many and taken for granted by a lot, there are many people that can't afford to take their car and drive it and then pay the parking and all of that. These things are never preserved. And this is the quality of life. They struggle to work. When they do get a chance to go recreate, they're met with a system that taxes them in parking and all of that. And that's just my thoughts on some of this. So you need sentries out there to just simply alert people.
Imagine if the story is told straight, Paul Revere. You know, imagine him. Who was he? He was an alarmist or a guy rode a horse fast or whatever. But to alert people, and I serve in that capacity, and some of these people, I mean, you look at, imagine becoming a politician. I know Filippo is gone, and we're going to be discussing this, but the people that sit there, that take the recent issue of same sex. You have gay people that have been hiding, that are state representatives, Joe Jordan, you have others, and they won't even vote for them things that impact their lives. Imagine serving with someone that won't even act on their own interests. So you know they're susceptible to influence and peddling and what have you, when you're ashamed of yourself, apparently. I imagine sitting in the same aisle, looking across the aisle at this person who doesn't even stand up for themselves. And then you ask, well, I understand she got appointed and she's part of the system. So, and especially here in Hawaii, I love this place because it is one of the most beautiful places any human being, when we look at the natural beauty of it, could ever lay eyes on. Prettier than any girl, prettier than any pearl, any diamond. It's a beautiful place, and things here radiate. But the scum in government just takes it and make it nightmarish. You know, we're highest in this and higher in that. And I was talking to a friend yesterday, and we just exchanged a few comments about health and what have you, and the number of cancers and that people that we know that are impacted with cancers, and we don't understand why. We don't know why, or we do know why, but they're not telling us. Brain cancer, breast cancer, and cancers of, and I know there's this policy that we don't talk about it, but because of privacy. But one day I would like to, just in a general sense, have people to call up and share with me just the number of people that they know that has cancer. And I believe that these are the types of things we take the military. We have it, and we see how they've disposed and deposited chemicals, and we know the various tests. We know the high radiation. We know all of these things. We have nuclear subs. We don't know much about their waste, and we don't know much about how they handle things. We just don't know much about anything. And we have a state agency, the Department of Health, take, for example. And here's one other reason why I don't believe I would fit well in politics. You take this example of Gary Gill. He is going to be the new director of the health department, the Hawaii State Department of Health. Now, you know what I think of Gary Gill, and I'm not just thinking it, but his behavior, his aptitude, his inability. He's not qualified to hold the position that Abercrombie appointed him in, number one. And number two, he doesn't have the personality. I mean, I've spoken with this man about five times, and each time is as if I had dog poo on my shoes. But he's an environmentalist and big round eyes and all. But is he worthy of becoming the director? Forget the worthiness. Is he qualified? Do we trust that Neil Abercrombie made a good decision to name Gary Gill as the director of health? We have issues with influenza. What's his expertise in that? we have issues with solid waste. We've shown time after time, shown that he stood on Mount Everest there at the Waimanalo Gulch landfill and lied and perpetuated this lie about a 100-year flood, when the records show that we reveal that they had a catastrophic failure in collection of leachate, which caused the problem, but they attributed to a 100-year flood. This is what we have. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I thought Gary Gill was appointed as the interim director until a permanent one is located. I thought the director had to be an MD. And as far as Gary Gill goes, he's been on the public dole for years and years because he's not qualified to work in the public sector. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have to say. Happy New Year.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. I two things here. Because the caller talked about politics, and I was going to talk about it, nothing related to that, but about these issues. This is something we should bank on and keep in our back of our minds when it comes to the election. Neil Abercrombie has the interest of nobody but himself and his friends with big pockets. That's the bottom line. There's currently an investigation. We talked about this, about Hickam Air Force Base and Actus Lend Lease, and there's an active investigation on the federal level. As you remember, when Abercrombie got in and what have you, there was an issue of they had contaminated soils on Hickam. What was Abercrombie and Gary Gill's answers to this solution, to this problem? Well, the actors had asked for some $3 million or so, I think. I'm not exact on that. I don't have the paperwork in front of me, but we've talked about it, and there's on carolcox.com. There was money given to address the contaminated soils, and they weren't supposed to use certain contaminated soils with certain levels in certain areas, and could only use them for specific purposes. And there's this thing called the EALs, Environmental Action Levels. Well, to remedy that, to avoid any prosecution and to fail to prosecute this company or its subcontractors, the State Health Department Hazardous Emergency and Environmental Response actually increased the levels so that it would fall under the umbrella and protect them. These are the things that Gary Gill sit back and wasn't alarmed about and allowed. He, Gary Gill, perpetrated a lie while knowing he had documents in hand. And we have those documents where the inspectors are saying they were pumping water from the landfill, leachate as they call it, into the storm drain, into the waters of the state. Yet, he didn't prosecute anybody. In fact, he stood there and basically said he was going to investigate, but then he knew he had already given an excuse them for doing it and given permission. These are the kinds of things. You take clean air, clean water, wastewater, drinking water. If you want to know why Gary Gill is not qualified, and I honestly don't believe Neil Abercrombie is qualified to be a governor. I think what Neil Abercrombie came in with his swagger is to, I've been a congressman, and you know in this town, if you make it to that level, you become king of sort. And so, because everybody around you want to get something. The unions want something. The people that support you want something. So you got this clannish mindset, but it's more of a negative. Nothing benefit people because it's about money. And I don't believe that there is one single item that Neil Abercrombie has acted on that would merit or warrant a second vote for him. Too bad we don't have recall.
if that was an option, I think it, people would exercise it now. But, you know, in the state, somehow, somewhere, someone decided to insulate those that find their way, slither their way into government. They get to get protection. But PLDC, the Public Land Development Corporation, HCDA, DHHHL, and we're going to be talking about DHHL in the next hour with Mr. Ben Char, a program out there in Waimanalo. And again, just when we think we've beaten some sense into Hawaiian homelands, yet another incident, another example of illegal, unethical, corrupt, backslapping, handshaking, you know, closed door meetings and what have you within the system. So politics is a strange climate here when you have to ask yourself, when a guy calls up and reports that I just saw someone dumping sewage in a park, and the first response is, you better be careful, man, they're going to kill you. What kind of climate is that? What kind of freedom is that? What is that, America? You know, what is that? And why is it that the legislators, all of them, they'll sit back and they're careful? Why do they sit back and do nothing and just let the game take its course? So, you know, I have many reasons, but this most recent in turn, with Gary Gill, interim, even 5 minutes in his capacity as a director of environmental services is a misinformed, misplaced decision, bad decision. And also, the game, the way it's played, there's Genevieve Solomonson, who gravitates to the health department. And there's this little clique. Abercrombie tried to appoint her to OEQC, and then people objected to that. Then next, what happens? He tries to put her in another position. So I'm telling you guys, I don't know anything about Ige, and I would never tell you who to vote for. And I'm sure Ige, for being around, I've never seen him run on top of the building and say, this is one lie that we're telling the people. I haven't seen that in him. So I'm not going to say run out and vote for him either. But if you vote for Neil Abercrombie, I think in the coming future, in these new elections, you're one misinformed American. You really are. You are really. All the things that you care about in Hawaii, all the things you know about in Hawaii, if you vote for this man, then you're shooting yourself in the foot. Neil Abercrombie, you know, just going to tell you the way it is. It's not about votes. It's about integrity. It's about ethics. In this coming up topic, and we've shown with DHHL and Hawaiian Homes and the health department, and shamefully, there's a DLNR. And this is how he plays. He surrounded himself with several Native Hawaiian people, some activists, William Islam in particular. The most reckless, careless, irresponsible administration in DLNR that I've ever seen. It takes its orders. It appears that someone comes along in the morning and slide the orders under the door. And then we see a smiling face. The media won't take Isla to task, but we don't have game wardens working at night. We had a situation down at Kehi in the last couple of weeks where there was a claim by one of the administrators, female, that someone scribed, put blood on her door and put some, I won't say the word, but
on the door. They didn't make a report. Now, listen. Listen to this and listen to it good. I have emails where the administrator of DLNR, DoCare, sends out to its officers, you cannot work before 6 o'clock and you cannot work after 6. Now, the DLNR DoCare office is not there because it's a club. It's a mandate. It's a way of addressing the endangered species. It is something that was allowed. They are enforcing law and protecting law, and they have authority granted to them from federal agencies, and they get federal monies. $500,000 plus for the state to run its DoCare. That's all that's allocated, I'm told. They can't work before 6 or 7, 6 in the morning or 6 at night. But get this now. In this little incident that occurred, no one really can say when it occurred, but it caused some problems over there in Kehi Lagoon. They manned that area with 11 officers, 3 shifts at a time. Some shifts had less officers, but they had 11 officers sitting there in that little boat harbor on week from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 3 shifts. Yet if you call and say, I have a monk seal that's entangled, or I have people out here using net and have caught a turtle and the turtle is in the trunk of the car, or they've cut it up, you can't get a game warden to go. Now, I don't know about you. You can tell me that I'm as wrong as 2 left shoes with Isla, and Isla's a good man, and we all are. But ain't worth a damn when it comes to upholding Malamaka Aina. If that is what you deal with by mandate, by legislative process, by you go and you get funded, and you introduce law to protect these species, and you sit there and you know that you can't be out there past 6 and before 6 and after 6, when you know that, when you know the public, you are a native Hawaiian. When you're talking about Malamaka Aina and you're going to look to the future and you want to protect and preserve and people sustain themselves, and you leave it to the thieves because your boss, the guy who appoints you, believes that it's not important, but tell the people it's important, tell the people a big lie that you're out there protecting it. You got a man that's been on light duty or on administrative purpose because he apparently said that he went to a house to serve some papers in aiding or just accompanying someone to serve some papers, and he was accused of acting as a law enforcement officer. This man has been on leave for more than a year, drawing a salary and then working as a substitute teacher. The administrator, who William Isla handpicked, native Hawaiian, Mr. Randy R. Woe, gets on a plane, flies back to Maui every week. Set in, didn't have the expertise, competed for the job, but was allowed to stay in the training capacity for nearly 3 years. Or 2 years, I should say, or longer. I don't know. It's such a nonsense. So this is about a situation that you can tell the native people, the native Hawaiians, that we love you, we care for you, we're going to do, and there he is smiling, there he being Abercrombie, and he appoints, you know, the people that have some native Hawaiian background. But he has them on a short leash. They speak when he wants them to speak. He had William Isla defending the PLDC. Remember that? Act 55. I know damn well Isla wouldn't, in the deep down in his soul, unless I misread him. But these are the kinds of things that if you cared about the people, you cared about the Aina, your policies, your appointees, your administration would be standing tall And you wouldn't name people like Gary Gill, because you see, on one hand, Gary Gill is doing exactly, he protects the water, he oversees the water, the land, in a sense, the air, all that comes under him. And now if you get a sneeze and get the flu, you gotta go to him. If you get a marriage license, you gotta go to Gary Gill's office. He, in the interim, see the danger when we say interim, is there a limit? Well, there's limits to say you can't act as an administrator for 90 days. And guess what? In some of these situations, Randy R. Wool was allowed to act for a long time. Gary Moniz were allowed to act even though the law says 90 days and you have to bring someone else in as acting. So interim it's a matter of interpretation. And I am just fearful that we come along and vote in this man again, being Abercrombie. It'll only get worse. That's my thoughts, and I will say to you that you might disagree, but all I will say is just be patient. And disagreeing is one thing, and the tone of my voice and how I've made these statements about him, probably kind of unkind, mean-spirited, and some of the interpretation maybe you may go away with. But the reality is, you're stuck. You're the one who's going to end up spending tax dollars and getting nothing for it, but more pilikia, more lies, more distrust. That's what, you know, more discard in the communities and nothing, more homeless, when we could fix that problem in a heartbeat. So anyway, we're going to be talking in the next hour. I have Ben Char. Thanks for being patient and sitting here with me, Ben. And we're going to talk about this program that Ben has, and he's also having problems. He's having problems with the DHHL, and man, the more I read this and see this, it's like they don't learn. But I guess when the arrogance is bigger than your heart, you can do things to people and hurt them without being sensitive, because you're the governor, because you're the director of Hawaiian Homelands, or you have a mission. You have your duties. You have your assignment. This is what the governor wants, and this is what they don't want. In the meantime, and everything else, I get to play, and I get to play with my friends and make friends and, you know, grease the hands and palms of others while inflicting injury on the native people. So, and Ben, good morning.
Good morning.
And we're going to take a break here shortly, but then we'll start the next hour. Sure. What is your organization, first of all, out in Waimanalo, and introduce yourself before it?
I'm Ben Char, and we have a program out at the ranch in Waimanalo. It's called Manawalea Writing Center. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization that we organize in around 2000-2001. And we do therapeutic horsemanship for disabled kids. Mm-hmm. So we work with, Shriners, Kapilani Hospital, Matcha Dimes, you know, whatever kids that need the therapeutic horsemanship, you know. We even do schools, mm-hmm. Yeah, the special ed classes, outside organizations, you know, wherever they have kids with not only physical but mental disability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's this issue now with your lease, where you have a lease, and you had another gentleman, Alan Silva, who was party to your lease. Well, both of you co-leasees, right, for this property?
Right.
And so there is this move. They've told you that you were in violation of certain things, storing some of the basic. You have your letter. We're going to talk about it later, but more specific, yeah, that you had a car or a truck stored there in the property and belonging to others and that didn't belong to you.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I mentioned that because I want to share with the listeners out there how the disparity, if they like you or if they want something, and you're one of their friends, or you got political connection, man, the door's open, and you can walk in. You don't have to walk sideways to avoid from it. They make a broad opening for you. But if you're just a, quote, nobody, and I'm not suggesting that Ben Char is a nobody. I mean, his program is obviously one of great merits, and the benefits when you see the smile of the children with Down syndrome and all that riding on these horses. And it's been proven that medicinally it has some value. And we can't debate that. Others, I don't have anything to argue that it don't work. But I do know there's many programs that even the dogs going into the senior citizen home is very calming, or a pet. And so we can't argue with it. But so they ding Ben in a letter telling him, well, you know, we're going to have to review your permit because you're storing other stuff for other people and blah, blah, blah. So, you know me, I want to look at things. So I hear that there's Kiku Bukowski, who, nice guy, former state representative. But the guy that's involved with this program is his uncle, I'm told. I don't know the legal, if it's Hanai, or but some refer to him as uncle. But here's one thing. Now, Ben being told by the Hawaiian Homelands that, oh, you're storing things that belongs to others, and that's not proper and consistent with your lease. Kiku Bukowski got the ear of Uncle Joe Tassel and has Uncle Joe Tassel delivering letters or attempting to get Ben to sign things as outside of his purview as a commissioner, and then he's going to hear this. And Kiku Bukowski, we learned that there's a boat sitting on his, quote, uncle's property that belongs to Kika. So why is it that DHHL didn't evict or punish or threaten Alan Silva? So we're going to talk about that in the next hour, and these are the little things that if we can get rid of them, we get rid of the big things, because it all starts with a little simple act of disparity and unfairness, and who knows. So we'll come back. This is the Carol Cox Show, and by the way, you can again pick us up live with streaming on carolcox.com. go to the website, and we'll be back shortly.
Show on 1080 AM KWAI Honolulu. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
I don't need
Okay, hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Again, you can pick us up live if you're having some static on your radio at carolcox.com. Just go there and click listen live on live radio, and you'll pick us up on the internet wherever you are with whatever you got, as long as you got internet connection. So anyway, I have a guest here with me, Mr. Ben Char, and before I go into that, I just want to remind you that keep in mind, look at Neil Abercrombie's decisions. Jack Lewin, I guess, and then we had Bruce Anderson as a doctor. Bruce Anderson headed the health department. And then we had Dr. Chiomi Fukino. And Neil Abercrombie comes along and appoints orderly Gary Gill. So we need to check into that and ask Neil, even though it's an interim, what happens if we have something that is critical, like right now? Does Gary Gill draw from his faculty expertise and leading that agency? I don't think so, because I have a short memory, but this incident fell within the short memory. And that is the molasses. Hawaiian Health Department actually had knowledge and have files and have been withholding those files because they're trying to cover their olokoli or their butts and not disclose what it is that they knew about it. You see? So, again, that's consistent with an interim Gary Gill serves as a way that Abercrombie can serve his buddies with big pockets. So, anyway, enough of that. We're going to be talking here, and this is very interesting. This Hawaiian homeland, and I know I'm making these connections, and maybe you don't get them or think they're inappropriate, but what's occurring once again? We brought you Kalaka Nui, where a lady had put in, Native Hawaiian woman, put in for at least for 7 years and was jerked around. They lied to her. They told her they lost her contract, her application, and on and on and on. But yet, they didn't want to give a permit to her or a lease to her in the area because they didn't want that kind of activity. And yet, two major companies go in and do exactly what she was wanting to do. Then there's George Grace, who they're hammering, just, I think, short of sacrificing him now. And now here's Ben Char. And there are many others that have been dying along the wayside because they don't have the voice. So we're going to try and give Ben's issue here a voice. So good morning, Ben.
And good morning, Carol.
Share with the folks what the crux of this is and what's bothering you about this, and I'll pitch in with the little bits I know.
Well, I'm not in compliance, and I also found out that I was delinquent on payments, and it's all through helping people. You know, in the 90s, when I got the place, every time the regime changes, mm-hmm. it's okay to do this and not okay to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then when they asked for help to do some things, can you keep some things here temporarily? I said, okay, and it's okay with them. But it's just the inconsistency of okay, not okay, and then mm-hmm. all of a sudden, in 2012, I get singled out.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I applied for a long term lease. I guess it was 05, 04, somewhere along the line, and we were just about to get it, and we didn't get it because my partner said he didn't know anything about it, and which was false.
Mm-hmm.
When actually he told me he didn't want to sign off. We all have to sign off for a lease, right, to get a different lease and get a long term.
Right.
And I knew from that point on that he kind of wanted his own place, yeah. But I let it go because originally I put him on a lease because when we knew that we was going to get the place, I kept my word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the type of person that a handshake does the job, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I keep my word. So I kept my word. And the girls that when we went there to sign it, some of the girls said, Ben, don't do it. Don't put him on the lease. But I said, I kept my word, so and I stuck with it. So now I'm stuck in this position. But anyway, like I said, you know, there's things that, yes, I've got, I have equipment parked at my place. Not too many of them. There's only one or two. And these are people that not only help our community, but other Hawaiians or other, you know, business
mm-hmm.
people, and things gone bad, economy gone bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my place, you can't really see.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to get cited, and it had to be somebody who knew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what I help all kind of people. You know, the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And then I help. And then there's been report, you know, guys come up my place. These enforcement guys, and sometimes there's two of them, sometimes there's four of them. And they say, we got a complaint. Or that you got activity here, and you got people staying here. I said, wow, I've been doing this from the 90s to help people get on their feet and move on. They don't stay forever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, all this just accumulated. And I guess right now I'm at the point where I've been asking for help. And I have to see somebody and try to see if they can help. But all they tell me, have you read the lease? Yes, I have read my lease. And I've asked them, have you read the act? And they said, yes, read the act. And I said, how can we, as Hawaiian people, be entrepreneur, be self-sufficient, and be business-minded, be farmers, ranchers, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we have a limit, or what's the limit? Am I wrong by helping people? Not only people, but, you know, druggies, yes, they come up, oh, you get action up your night. I said, these druggies know that they don't do their business on my place. They come for help to fix their cars, or sometimes they have something to sell, but it's not worth buying, but I buy them
mm-hmm.
because I know they need money.
Right.
So, you know, I get a couple of bucks on my, here, yeah, take it, and I take the item, and
mm-hmm.
they move on. And, you know, I always was like this, and I always be like this, but it's getting to the point where I might have to change.
Well, I wouldn't change because I would. This is what troubles me, why I don't dabble in saying I understand the Hawaiian culture, because I don't. And being Hawaiians are generous with one another to a depth that most people would never understand it. You, the Hanai family, when a person come to you and need help, I've observed this, in Hawaii they help. But for me to say, oh yeah, you know, but I think that is what troubles me about the Hawaiian Homelands Commission and the agency. It really isn't sensitive and understand the Hawaiian culture. They're trying to operate it, and I say they're wrong because, and the listeners out there that you hear Ben saying he's not in compliance, and you're probably saying, well, then what's the issue, and why are you supporting him? There's a bigger issue here, and that is, if I can take you back, and I played the tape on the only reason that any of this has taken place now because, and we played that tape where Daryl Young is telling George Grace and Sabrina Grace on tape in a meeting that they're going to have to redo everything. What normally they could work things out and give them what they want and help them, but now the media and Carol Cox is chasing them and looking over their shoulders. So because they're under a microscope, they're going to change the rules. And so in the process, to hell with the Hawaiian culture, to hell with Hawaiian behavior. Let's take care of our friends, and in the process say we're cleaning up the area, when in reality they're not. And so, Silva, your lease originally is pastoral.
Right.
Right?
Ag pastoral.
Ag pastoral. Is pigeon racing pastoral? Is it? Does it fall under there? Did he?
No.
Did they ever say to you when you had the pigeons there ever? Not you. When Silva, because Silva is the one who has pigeons, racing pigeons there, right? And that's a lucrative business of racing pigeons, and there's monies and awards given whoever comes in first or whatever level inter island races. Was that part of? Did anyone ever say, okay, you guys, you and Silva have pigeons here on this property, and you shouldn't have them?
No, nobody said that. Like going back, when they asked, you want Alan to be on the lease, I said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I went against.
The wishes and advice.
Yeah, right. And then they said, is the birds all right? I said, well, the birds all right. At that time, we were good friends, you know, and never thinking something like this would happen.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. So everything was okay. I guess it got lucrative enough to where, because at one time he had mentioned that after he retired, he's going to move to Big Island. So I didn't, you know, really say, okay, well, then if he's going to leave, then, you know, mm-hmm. I'll get the place. And then, you
right.
know, I didn't worry about it. And the deal was we're supposed to find borders, and he haven't found a border mm-hmm. since then. Ever since his daughter left, there was no horses, you know, in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And until now, then this year, he's been getting ready and making the place look nice and corral. Oh, something's up, and sure enough, Hawaiian Homes came down, and I guess...
I don't understand, and I hope the listeners out there, I've put these papers together and gathered them from different sources, and you have an attorney now, so here's what I don't understand. The two of you, Alan Silva and yourself, own a lease, and you lease property in Waimanalo from Hawaiian Homelands.
Right.
The two of you own a whole title. I'm looking at some of the records where they've actually gone to him and worked a decision when the two of you on the lease, they should have involved you in every single meeting that involved that land or that lease. How is it that they schedule Alan Silva, fragmented, broke it up, divided it up, and schedule him as part of the hearing? To go to, I guess, Maui, or he went to a commission hearing to hear his matter, to split it up and to grant him portion of the lease without informing you. You didn't have any knowledge of this, correct?
Not that I know of, that he was trying to grab the place. I think because there was a gap mm-hmm. where Hawaiian Homes says nobody has a lease. Remember, beginning of the year, a whole bunch of us with this type of lease on certain date. Nobody has a lease, but a right of way of entry. Yeah,
right. And but they by big.
So I think in that gap, he found a legal way or found a way of, because I'm still not in compliance and I'm still delinquent and somehow.
Yeah, they said you were delinquent in checks, but you said in the commission meeting and you gave me copies of your act where you actually. Documents show that you had paid.
Yep.
Now, my question earlier and my concern is that they know that the two of you are on the lease. How is it that they could bring themselves to only scheduling a hearing, splitting it up and scheduling a hearing for Silva? What if a portion of that investment, that land that Silva gave, you had invested in it, has interest? Do they have the right to pull him aside and give him all things that you've invested in? I mean, what did they do to safeguard your investment? You're on the lease. So I personally believe that this was done
It's unethical. I believe that it violated your rights to due process. And this is me now. I'm not an attorney, but this is what I would want as an individual. If we're leasing together on from one agency, I don't care what the cause to modify, I think that I should have been brought in. Both parties should be abreast of the situation and informed, right? Is that expecting too much?
No, I guess because I'm still not in compliance. I'm still delinquent. So I'm thinking, and because I don't know any politicians and how the law.
Good for you, Ben.
I know all of them. I know, but to help. I mean, even the law. I don't know what's the law, but the thing is, how can I be helping and doing the 90s when I got my place, and all of a sudden. 2012, I get singled out. In 2013, I'm on the verge of losing a place that I had and pretty much built up. And, everybody is wondering, wow, Ben, you're going to get shut down. How can that be? And you only help us, the community. You help everybody. And I said, well, I guess, one point in time in life, I'm going to have to be the guy that I really don't want to be. And I just have to be in compliance and make sure my bills are paid, clean up so that I can get my place. If that's the way it is, because a lot of Hawaiians, we don't, know the law, and we don't know politicians. We don't. So some of us get pushed aside, and it seems to me that if they can't, and if you're a needle in or a thorn in their foot, they evict you, and they don't.
Now look at this. I wanted to share to the listeners why I'm appalled, and I'm not even directly involved in this, but I see what has come to the surface, the same old practice. Like you're saying, you don't know politicians, you don't know the political side, and you don't want to know that. But this is exactly what has come into play. So we take, as I said, Kiko Bukowski, former state representative, nice guy. But when you lend yourself to this kind of behavior, it calls into question what kind of person you are when you inflict injury on others, or cause it or contribute. It's just wrong. And when you see an injustice, and I believe what Ben is experiencing, in my personal opinion and observation, is an injustice. And I'll say that because Uncle Joe Tassel, who is a commissioner, maybe unsuspecting, maybe knowingly, but he was also working with you at the same time,
right,
and not informing you that, in fact, they had scheduled a hearing for Alan Silver, leaving you in the dark, but working with you all along. But here's what troubles me. Uncle Joe receives a letter from Kiko Bukowski, is Keith Bukowski, actually Bukowski, and Kiko writes to Uncle Joe, a commissioner now. Please take a look at the letter attached and let me know if it looks okay. If so, please have Ben sign as soon as possible and send certified mail to DHHL Joby Masagatani as well as Alan Silva. I would like a copy for myself, for my files as well. You can send my signed copy to P.O. Box, blah, blah. I would love to set up a meeting with yourself and Ben to, quote, talk story, end quote, when you have time. Please let me know. Mahalo, Uncle. Now, Kika. Now, here's my concern with that. Kika is not an employee of the Department of Hawaiian Homeland. He has not. He may be representing Alan Silver, and some say that's his uncle. But while he's taking these actions, how does he know Joby Masagatani will receive a letter from him or receive this document? And I noticed that Alan Silva also was privy to certain documents that you weren't privy to. And so how is it that they're telling you you need to kick everybody off and you're not in compliance because they're storing trucks and other equipment, and yet Kika is engaged here and has a boat stationed there on that property? That Alan Silva, that's not a boat storage yard, is it? And Kika is not a renter, is not on the lease, is he? So, if he is, call me and correct me. But you go there and you look, and there is
Kika's boat registered. If you go to DCCA, to the boating, DLNR, Boating and Recreation Division of Boating, you'll find that Kika Bukowski's boat is registered to the numbers. And how did he get it? And why is he involved? Because is he there because he is a former state representative? Does he have access to Joby and Darryl Young because they're all politically, you know, they dabble in that politics? Is that the new Hawaii? Is that the new? And so the kupuna or the seniors like yourself who are out there just trying to get along and help, you're having to, you're confronted with this kind of behavior. To schedule a hearing in Maui, and where is it? You have those agenda. Can you read that agenda where it was scheduled for A1 or for Alan Silva?
Yeah, it's scheduled J1, general agenda, mm-hmm. request to address Commission Kika Bukowski.
Kika Bukowski is on J1, and that's related to this incident, this matter with yours, right?
Yeah, this was in October.
Now, what about the other? There was an A1, another agenda item.
Well, this agenda item is I was on J1 mm-hmm. for being on get on to request the address commission.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I didn't, you know, people told me, oh, you got to get on the agenda, get on the agenda. Mm-hmm. How you get on the agenda? And it wasn't, you know, you call and ask, and we get the same thing every time we call Hawaiian Homes. Either you talk to a tape and they don't get back to you, or then when you talk to the secretary, they'll take it, but it seems like nobody get the message. Or so I had to, a friend of a friend said, I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
And to get on the agenda. So we had to do a paper thing. And then when I took it down, she said, make sure you make the secretary sign it, have it stamped each envelope to each commissioner, and et cetera. And I did it twice. We did one week after or 2 weeks after, we sent another letter, same thing, just to get on the agenda. I don't know the formalities. Like I said, I don't know how it works, but that's how it works. And if I knew that 2012, I would have gotten on the agenda earlier. But I guess my partner had some help in the gap of not mm-hmm. having the lease, because nobody had a lease. They took away our leases, but we had a right of way. And in October, when I got a call from Uncle Joe, I kind of felt dumbfounded. I kind of felt like, wow, he's two steps ahead of me. So,
mm-hmm.
and what's done, it's done. And I guess I'm going to have to be in compliance. And I'm not delinquent because mm-hmm. they didn't cash six of my checks. So
yeah.
I can't understand that, yeah.
I believe that the whole thing was a setup to work it the way they wanted to. And that is, they say you were delinquent in payment, and yet you have the copies and evidence that you pay them. And then they schedule a hearing to go before the commission and tell you nothing about it. That, to me, is just criminal. It's insulting. And then you had, and I know factually, that because I've seen you with Uncle Joe Tassel, I'm inclined to say that he did know, but here's the problem. All of these acts, each step of the way, complements what he was doing and involved with you. Telling you what? Not to worry.
Yeah.
Telling you don't bother to do anything because it was going to get work. It was not a problem. He was a commission. The commission approves it. But this process, as I'm informed, the Hawaiian Homes Commission can only approve this. Joby Masagatani can't approve anything as relates that matters that come before the commission. So I'm thinking that if Kika is writing Uncle Joe to have Uncle Joe act as an agent, then Uncle Joe is committing ex parte activities and communications on a matter that was be heard before the commission eventually, as we see scheduled there. I'm concerned that Joby and Uncle Joe and others and Kika have taken the system and commandeered it and going to make it work for them. And then harming you and harming that community that rely and depend on your activities. Is it
Montevalier Writing Center?
Yeah, that writing center. So something's wrong here.
Well, that's what I told him, and the picture doesn't look good. And it's some either people are in a hui or it's corrupt. I said I'll be back again and again and again to find out why, how come, you know. And the same thing they keep on telling me: you're not in compliance and you're delinquent, mm-hmm. and you don't have insurance. When we give them insurance paper. How many times do they have to lose a paper or what kind of files they keep? Because mm-hmm. over the years, every time the new regime comes, oh, not only they ask about insurance, but they say, oh, you don't have any papers. Take mm-hmm. this one. In 2012, when I got singled out, they got a whole stack of papers on not only insurance, but mm-hmm. on everything else, what they needed, permits, the bad lands. They used to call them bad lands, and how we got... excess of it because Micah, you know, gave us a letter, said okay, because we needed a ADA compliance bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and we got donations to put it up, and we got the okay. Then we did that. They didn't have anything, so we gave them everything.
Mm-hmm.
And 2013, I get told by this other lady, Shirley. She's the new. And she came by with another lady that knows me, and you know, she and asked me, "Do you have your insurance papers?" I said, "Wow, you gotta go look in my file. I should have." I said, "Unless there's two Ben Charles and my file is empty, something's wrong here." I said, "I've been over the years giving you documents and papers,
mm-hmm.
and you asking me." I said, "I think if you go Ben Char, I'm a thorn because ever since 2012, I've been under the thing of not being in compliance, and I'm delinquent. So I don't know how I'm delinquent because my wife keeps a good record on all the checks when it goes in. They used to send a bill with us,
mm-hmm.
but since June or July, they didn't send a bill, but my wife still wrote a check. And after a couple of them had me cashed, he said, "Hey Ben, you know something wrong? The check's not being cashed, and I wonder if it's because nobody really has a lease and they're holding it, or but come to find out, and I had to find out from a news guy.
Mm-hmm.
He told me because he was asking me questions. Oh Ben, are you delinquent and are you not in compliance? I said, well in yeah, I'm not delinquent and in compliance. On how can I be in compliance? I always ask for help, but nobody comes around. Nobody say go see this person or go see this. All they do is send guys and just say this is not good, this is good, this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow, I'm only helping people. I even help you guys if you guys need help. I was always like that. You ask anybody, you know, in Waimanalo or who knows me and knows the ranch and Manavalea. That's why a lot of them are dumbfounded on really what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they found out that my partner has a place and we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I got to make people homeless. I gotta be in this seasons of giving and kind. I gotta take away,
mm-hmm.
and I gotta put people off on the street. I gotta put business people out more out than whatever they out,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you know the thing is, you can't see up my place. Nobody highway over there, nobody knows what's up.
You know, Kali Watson, former chairman of the commission and chairman, director of the Hawaiian Hall, has a program where he's able to lease certain lands and in turn sublease them to businesses. Why, instead of just cutting your throat and leaving you to die along the wayside, why don't they offer the same situation of benefits that they offer extend to a courtesy they extend to Collie and others that has political connections, that has money, that knows their way around the political arena. Why don't they offer that to you rather than cutting? And I'm taken aback by the fact that I see road and highway builders were scheduled on this last one. Yet, they don't have the necessary permits. They even lied for them, said they did have permits, the NPDS permits and whatever. And yet you, on the other hand, are being impacted, and this is something that benefits the community. I guess they can argue that road and highway builders benefit the community, but the way they went about it. So my summation is that given the fact that Kika is able to write a commissioner, Uncle Joe, and have Uncle Joe Tassel. This is on in reference to his letter to Uncle Joe. If he can get a commissioner to do his bidding for him or just carry a letter to the director, that means that he's using influence. That means they're not extending that courtesy to you. It should be fair across the board. If a third party can write a letter and ask a commissioner to bring it to you, to hand carry it, to have you to sign it, I don't know what the letter says. Waving, it'll be left up to Uncle Joe to share that letter. But whatever it is, but you did in fact receive a telephone call from Uncle Joe regarding a follow-up to this around the time this letter was. And what was that portion of the conversation related to?
Well, he had called, and he said, if I knew Kika Bugowski, I, and right then and there, because we had the kids, we had the program, so mm-hmm. I was involved in the program, so I wasn't thinking straight. I said, oh, well, not really. And not knowing Kika was the Kika across, yeah?
Right.
And so I said, oh, what's happening? He said, oh, Uncle Ben, and, do you want to split the place? I said, wow, no, not really. I said, why? Mm-hmm. He said, well, this guy, and he's my friend, and we're trying to work things out. And I said, no, Uncle Joe, you know what we was fighting for. We was fighting for what's ours, and what, so that the program can expand, you know, and you know what we was trying to do. He said, okay, I'll talk to the guy, because he's helping Alan Silva. I said, oh, wow. I said, well, right there again, I said, well, he's mm-hmm. going to take the place, and he's two steps ahead of me. So, like I said, once I found out how to get on the agenda, by the time I got on the agenda, two agendas ago, he was already there and just waiting to finalize. And we kind of knew that, because on the day of my meeting, the day before, there was a lock on the gate mm-hmm. on his entry. And the road that he comes in, I have to let him have access, because I don't have a lease. I don't, you know. So I don't want to jeopardize the kids program and what I've done there and built up. I mean, you can tell just by looking. And on the days that we do have program or don't have program, we got kids up there. People come up there to ride or to whatever help they need. Mm-hmm. And we help them. But when they seen the lock on the gate, I kind of knew. And going to the meeting, you know, I just have to do what I have to do, and maybe read more about law, or maybe make a friend with a politician, or somebody could help me.
Yeah, but what happens when you make friends with politicians and get favors when they get voted out or leave office? Then you're back in the circle, subjected to abuse again. And plus, it's just not right.
Yeah, you know.
Get it on its merits. Get it on its on face value. If the program, and I believe listeners out there, if any of you are inclined to call and offer support, call the governor and tell him to lay off. I mean, this is, or at least extend the same courtesies that you give afford the Alan Silvers, the Kika Bukowskis. I'm just floored by the fact that I've witnessed others trying to get on the agenda to make presentation on matters that involve them directly. Kika is not a, unless he is the attorney for Alan Silva or legal representative, I can't see why he would be able to just get on the agenda when I witness others trying to get on the agenda for months and then only learn that they're on the agenda a day before they get assigned to the agenda. This gentleman has access to Uncle Joe to write and have the a commissioner hand carrying a letter to the director or to you, asking them to have you to sign. I think that is just, I keep going back to that. I'm just frustrated that to see that it all unfolds this way. But I think we keep bringing it up. I think they will get the message.
Well, thank you, Carol. It seems like right now I'm up against the wall, mm-hmm. and I'm going to have to be the rest of the holidays, either Mr. Scrooge or mm-hmm. Mr. Meany or Mr. because it seemed like it got to go. Mm-hmm. I can't be helping people. I can't be caring for people. I can't be, how you might say, being a child of God or, you know, being what,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of you are religious, but being Christ-like. It's just against, you know, everything. So if I have to be a person like that to secure a place, then so be it in a way. And I'm not, I really don't want to be like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, just a lot of listeners like to have little facts. And so I'm looking at the Division of Boating and Recreation website, DLNR, and the license, the registration number on Kika's boat, because we want to be careful and say it's Kika's boat when it, maybe it's not, is the HA4220H. And the search results, and this is what the Division of Boating and Ocean Recreation's website shows. Any of you can go there and look. The name of the party that owns this boat is Keith G. Bukowski. And it is expiration date is 1/20/15. So, clearly, while they're telling you, and I reiterate this, telling you, you have people with things that don't belong there, that are storing things, you're allowing them to store things, then Alan Silva would be guilty of the same thing. But makes it more complex and exacerbated is that the guy that's representing and have direct access to the commissioner, having a commissioner doing work, and having letters delivered to Joby, and having direct contact with him, has a boat stored on Alan Silva's property. Why aren't they prosecuting Silva or punishing him as they're punishing you, threatening to? Or why did they offer to give him the lease? I don't know if they've really confirmed it yet. I'm in limbo here as to what the real status is right now, because maybe they got to go back. But that's what's troubling me, that Kika Bukowski, having nothing to do with this unless there's some papers that say that he is a legal representative for this matter on behalf of Alan, or the, maybe the lease put his name, who knows, but I never saw it in the commission, never voted on it.
No, from what I was told, in fact, while I was sitting there, two people after me, the commissioners started to get up and leave because it was running late. My schedule was at 1, and we didn't go in until I sat down was about 4 or 5 o'clock, yeah?
Yeah.
So everything behind me was kind of like in limbo.
Right.
And if they needed a quorum to decide or to finalize, after two people after me, they didn't have a quorum because while I was sitting there, I seen maybe two, three of them just walk out, and later on, couple walk out, whoever was out of islands.
The commissioners.
They, right, yeah. to catch a plane to go back, you mm-hmm. know, and if that's the way it is, then I kind of know now how it works, yeah? Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought they stayed and see it out and make sure us as beneficiaries get to say our piece. And that's another thing, you know, they gave us 3 minutes to plea our non-compliance and everything. But yet, 2012, and this is 2013, and in another week, it's going to be 2014, mm-hmm. and my problem hasn't been fixed. So, and all it goes back is to the letters, and I'm not in compliance, and I'm delinquent, and mm-hmm. no insurance. And but when they have all those papers, and we finally got a meeting with Darryl, and he's going to come down, and maybe he has a heart, or maybe he has another understanding of giving, helping, and charitable, and so if this man has that, then he can see that what I'm doing, it's not hurting anybody, and I'm mm-hmm. not making money off of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, my perspective is Darryl's prison is just the evolution of this process to defraud you and other Native Hawaiians, and in that, if he was going to come there, he would strike, and he would incorporate the thought that if Kiko Bukowski has direct access to Uncle Joe Tassel, who's a commissioner, who's going to be carrying a letter to have a letter signed and you sign off on it, and then in turn granting whatever it is authority for them. Darryl is not coming. I would say Darryl is coming with the nail in the coffin to go in the last nail. That's what I would say, because it's just wrong. It from start to finish, it's wrong. And I would suggest simply challenging it and saying on the process, I would file a complaint with the Ethics Commission. I would file a complaint with the OIP, Office of Information Practices, because if they had an issue there and you weren't afforded your due process, how can you? And I would file one with the governor. I don't, just a simple letter, because this is just absolutely dead wrong. And peripherally, I sit here and I watched it, and I watch your face in that testimony on what was it in that testimony? Here's what I saw. And I talked about it last week, or tried to describe it to convey to others what it's like. And I can't, if you could, you witnessed it. You were there, you waited for 1 o'clock. You'd struggle to get on the agenda.
Yep.
Then you get there, and the commission who you've been struggling to get on, then they tell you you got 3 minutes, and then you up and you look and you see them walking out. So now, then more trickle out. And then they don't directly say that there is no quorum, but then they go ahead and tell you, well, Mr. Char, go ahead and I remind you, you have 3 minutes. What can you just share with me? Because it was painful for me watching it, being this act being committed. What is your takeaway from that?
Well, I was pretty much kind of dumbfounded, because there were people before me, and everybody was giving X amount of minutes. And the buzzer went off, and they tell you to summarize your thing. And the funny thing is, a lot of us there wasn't enough time, so a lot of us went over. And mm-hmm. like I said, how can you fix my problem? You telling me to tell you in 3 minutes, and in almost 2 years my problem hasn't been fixed. And I've been asking and pleading, who can I see? So finally that day, they told me, oh, go see Darryl Young. And I said, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Now I can see somebody instead of trying to call. And when you try to call there, you know, if you're not talking to a tape and then leave a message, then they don't get back to you. And when come times like this, they get back to you, because mm-hmm. it's been in the front of people. It's
right.
been in the front of the commission. So that's why I think they act upon it. But if you're on the phone, I'm just another beneficiary, and maybe they're shorthanded, or maybe they're too busy, or I don't know. I give them the benefit of the doubt, but it seems like not only me has that problem.
Well, yeah? I wish that I could surmise it or sum it up as shorthanded, but they're busy-bodied, attempting to defraud the beneficiaries of what is rightfully theirs. And this process is so flawed. As I say, watching this, you struggling to get on the agenda, then you get on and they start walking out. What a statement, what a commentary about the whole process. You get your one day in court, your one day, and the jury starts to march out on you.
Yeah, well, like I said, they marched out. Wasn't exactly on me, but I've seen them walk out one or two people after me, and I said, "Wow, what about the rest that has to come on, because they don't have a."
Well, that's what I mean. You or them or 101, but the fact is, it's the process that's wrong.
Right.
They walked out on you because they knew you. See, this is, if they didn't know, they have an agenda. This agenda is produced 6 days before they have the meeting. So they are informed. They know what's coming before them. They know that. They also know when they schedule their air flights, right? They know that. They also know that the young men in the audience that work for DHHL or the security guards or the bouncers, that's what I call them. They call them the land enforcement. But they're bouncers. That's what they are. They're there to rough up the beneficiaries, rough up the Hawaiians, and scare the living bejesus out of them. And that's what, it's an intimidation factor. They know when they come in that morning what time their flights are. They know that when they get down to 2 o'clock, some got 2:30 flights. You follow? They know that. And so they know they're not going to... They have the agenda in hand. They've been served with that agenda. They get up and leave. It's directly impacting you. They walk out on you and the many other beneficiaries. Period. I mean, they're not short-handed. They're short of heart. They don't have any sensation in their heart. They said, "I'll take this job and I'll serve my people. I'll do what's right." And then they become part of the system that defrauds you. I mean, I watch you and I'm thinking, and then they tell you, you got 3 minutes. I didn't care if you had 20 hours. It wouldn't matter because they can't, whatever you said can't be deliberated on. You can't, it was like, you might as well sit down and talk to your shadow, you know.
The funny thing about it is when I sat there, I was the type of person that I'm really not, and I said a lot of things that, I wouldn't have said, but because when you're in that state and time, mm-hmm. and I really told him, are you sitting in those chairs for money,
yeah.
power, or helping us as beneficiaries? Because I'm so sad to see behind me all us Hawaiians have to be here
yeah.
to fight for, or, you know, we shouldn't be fighting, we should be helping. And I said, if we're all helping each other, we can solve the problem. And if, mm-hmm. you know, people care and people... have charity or something, yeah, you would find a solution. But the same solution is for everybody. It seems like if you're not with us, then you ain't.
Yeah. Well, it's a big lie that's being perpetrated. The Hawaiian Homelands Agency is not acting on behalf of the Hawaiians. Period. I can say that. I have the documentation repeatedly. When you see it happen over and over, it's systemic. And that means the institution itself is flawed. The institution is never, no one really wanted fixed. To have you sitting there and then task you with explaining things, knowing Jovi Masakatani should have said, in my opinion, "Mr. Char, if you like, for your, you know, you can go ahead and talk, but remind you that none of this can be used. We can't deliberate on it. But what we're going to do is schedule you for the next hearing. Are you able to go to Maui? Our next meeting is going to be wherever. Or do you want to wait until we return back here? What's financially convenient for you, right? And we will schedule you. You will be the first. Because you've come, and we didn't have a quorum, and we knew we should have had a quorum, or we should have canceled the meeting, because you can't deliberate. But what it is that they get a fair shake, and it's that intimidating process. In the meantime, who gets hurt? Your program that benefits all of those beautiful children. And it's that in itself. If they can't bring themselves and incorporate that in their heart, there are some sick people, I'm going to tell you. that DHHL, they're supposed to try and prop you up, make you, okay, you got some things that are not consistent with it, but so does many other people, and they tend to go out of their way to help them. And this is going to benefit children that are stricken with various diseases and what have you, but they can't bring themselves to that, but they can bring themselves to sharing with a friend. That, to me, is painful.
I don't know what to say or what to think, and you know, it's just have to, I guess I have to be like everybody else. And you know, surprisingly, after I said my piece and I came back, and a couple kupunas, funny, you know, they just said, "Oh boy, thank you very much for saying what you're saying, because we cannot say what you said, because they're either afraid or they've been shoved aside somehow, or maybe they're afraid of getting evicted, mm-hmm. you know." And yeah. When I walked outside, a couple people came outside, you know, and said, "Oh, Ben, thank you for saying what you're saying." And yeah. I said, "Well, I just had to say what I had to say, and I couldn't say it in three, whatever time did." So,
what is the phone number that people can contact you, right quick?
Well, my cell is 216-4745, and the ranch number is 259-9099.
Okay. Hey, thank you for joining. We're down at the last couple of seconds. And anyway, I'm going to be here, and the phone's always there. You want to come back on, I'm going to be asking some questions, and I'm going to ask the DHHL, how is it that Kiko Bukowski could have direct access to Joe Tassel to have the commissioner carrying his paperwork for him? I want to know that. So,
okay.
Thank you.
And one last thing I'd like to mention. I'd like to, you know, whoever is listening and the listeners out there, Patty and Wayne Silver is a big part of Mauna Valea. Mm-hmm. They take care of the program. And those kids, I mean, Patty, you watch Patty work with those kids. And anybody who comes down, they really, you know, they're great.
Well, we're going to have him back on, and we'll talk about it later on. Well, thank you. Well, this is the Carol Cox Show, and we'll see you next week. Aloha.
Can't you hear me when I come? Hey, boy.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.